Hello. Welcome to Be Your Best Self Health Chats, weekly casual conversations about taking health into your own hands. I am your host, Kristen Longacre.
Today's podcast is going to be a little bit different than what we normally do. Normally, I'm recording by myself, just speaking into a microphone and upload it and we go on our way. Well, I recently started a new community called Healthy Mom Lifestyle, where we're ditching the hot girl trend and focusing on building a healthy lifestyle for ourselves and our families. As part of that community, I'm also going to be providing bi-weekly live trainings in the community. To give you a glimpse of what is going on in the community and the trainings that we're going to be getting long-term, I'm going to invite you into this week's live training as part of the podcast. We are going to talk about diet versus lifestyle. So sit on back and enjoy this week's live training directly from our Facebook group. Let's talk about diet versus lifestyle. It felt like an appropriate topic for our first live training as this community is the Healthy Mom Lifestyle community. I also feel like both can sometimes get a bad reputation when it comes to diet and lifestyle. So I think it's an important topic that we address. There is this phrase, it's a lifestyle, not a diet. And I see this phrase everywhere. It's used to shame people. It's used to encourage people. It's on gym walls. It's on social media. It's true. Yes, you might be building this healthy lifestyle, but that doesn't mean that there can't be a diet involved. And that's exactly what I want to talk about today. So, it's true. Health should be a lifestyle. There should be no end date for your health. Your health doesn't suddenly stop mattering after your best friend's wedding. You know, a lot of times we go into a diet phase to lose weight for a wedding, a graduation, a special event, something going on. Those situations have end dates. They have a specific date that we're trying to hit a goal by. But that doesn't mean our healthy lifestyle stops after that end date. And I think that's where that quote, it's a lifestyle, not a diet, can be used in incorrect ways. It's used to shame people saying, you know, you shouldn't go on diets. You should be building a lifestyle like I am. Or you shouldn't be doing diet after diet after diet. Like, that's not healthy. Health should be a lifestyle. And that's true. But diets also are helpful and part of a healthy lifestyle. And that's really, really what I wanted to talk about here today. And in order to talk about that, we're actually going to start out by defining both lifestyle and diet. Because together, these two phrases actually work to provide you with an awesome outcome for your short-term and your long-term health. So, according to the Oxford Dictionary, lifestyle is the way in which a person or a group lives. Makes sense. Simple enough. The noun definition of diet, there is actually two definitions in the Oxford Dictionary. The first one is the kinds of food that a person, animal, or community habitually eats. Makes sense. Paleo diet, keto diet, vegan diet, gluten-free diet. Makes sense. The second definition is a special course of food which one restricts oneself either to lose weight or for medical reasons. Also makes sense. I'm going on a diet. That's the one we're going to talk about today. That second definition. But before we get into it, let's talk about building a long-term healthy lifestyle, and then we're going to take that diet piece and we're going to pull it into it to see how they go together. Our lifestyle is built up of several habits that make us the healthiest version of ourselves. Now, if you hang around in this community for long enough, you will quickly find out that I am all about those healthy habits. I truly believe that a healthy lifestyle is built up of little habits that we continuously build on. That healthy lifestyle isn't always going to be the same. It's going to change in different seasons of life, and it's going to change based on those habits. So
what are some of these habits that can build up a long-term healthy lifestyle? If you lived in a perfect, perfect world, you would nail every single one of these habits. Now, one, we don't live in a perfect, perfect world. Two, you're not expected to nail every one of these habits every single day and every season of life. As busy moms in this community, we know that sometimes 6 to 9 hours of sleep, not going to happen. Sometimes stress levels are going to be high, and that's okay. It's how you adjust your habits and how you make do with them that's going to matter in the long run. So let's talk about different habits that can make up a long-term healthy lifestyle. I mentioned sleep. Sleep is probably number one or two on this list in terms of importance. 6 to 9 hours of sleep a night, no more than 10. And I should preface this with, if you are a mom of a newborn baby, this one does not necessarily apply to you. Yes, should you be getting sleep? Yes. Should you try and sleep when the baby sleeps? Yes. Are there instances where I realize that is absolutely not possible? Absolutely. Getting as much sleep as possible as a mom is important. When I say 6 to 9 hours, no more than 10, that is key. Sometimes we oversleep and we send our body back into these patterns of, back into like sleep cycles in ways that we don't necessarily want to. So do you ever sleep like 14 hours and wake up feeling 10 times worse than when you fell asleep? Yeah. Because your body woke up in the middle of a sleep cycle and you were like, I'm not ready to be awake. So 6 to 9 hours tends to be a good sweet spot. It's actually more like 7 to 9, but I do know people that like function perfectly on 6. And if they get 9, it's not going to happen. Find your sweet spot. What is your sweet spot? Personally, 7 is mine. When I hit 8, I'm like, I don't wake up all that well. But that's just how I am. Everybody's different. We're all individuals. Another habit is nutrition. What is on your plate? Building out food, solid meals, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Yes, I said breakfast. We are busy moms, but breakfast is so, so, so important. And I don't mean coffee and a protein bar on the way out the door. I mean something that has protein, something that has carbs, and something that has fat. Give you a balanced meal at least 3 times a day. Maybe you're a 5-meal-a-day person with smaller meals. That's totally fine. But solid meals and knowing what's on your plate. Not fast food, not processed food. I'm talking more in the whole foods, veggies, fruits. If you choose to eat meat, beans, lentils, all of that stuff. Focusing on more whole foods and less on the processed. Now, I'm not saying eliminate processed because you're a busy mom. I get it. Processed food happens. I'm saying find the balance for you. A healthy nutrition habit is knowing what works best for your individual body. And if you hang around me at all, you know that I truly believe in a balanced, balanced meal. Hydration, the next habit. Drink your water. Simple as that. Building a healthy habit around drinking your water is going to be the number one thing you can do for your health. That tops sleep. That's my belief personally. Movement. Find a movement that works for you to build a daily habit around movement. Maybe it's going for a walk. Maybe it's lifting weights, running, yoga, Pilates, whatever it is. Find that daily habit find that movement that you can build into a daily habit. Another healthy habit is balancing those stress levels. And now I realize that that's like odd. Like, healthy habit is balancing your stress. Stress can prevent you from getting sleep, eating right, and moving your body. So finding ways to offset your stress is going to be an important habit. For some, it might be journaling. Some, it might be meditation. It's not necessarily balancing stress that is a habit. It's what habits are you doing to help balance out your stress. You're a busy mom. Stress happens. It is unavoidable. You have kids, you are going to be busy. It happens. Finding habits that can help you balance your stress is going to be good. And I am not talking sitting in front of the TV watching shows. Yes, those can help you reduce stress, but that also adds blue light stress to your eyes. So, something without technology. How do you balance your stress? Community. Finding a community to build habits together is going to be key for a long-term healthy lifestyle. Now, yes, finding a community is not a habit, but what you do with your community becomes a habit. So whether it's checking in with a sweaty selfie, whether it's going for a walk with moms in your neighborhood, organizing play dates for your kids, it takes a village, and there is a ton of research that shows that those who have community have longer lifespans. I'm not going to go into the blue zones today. I do have an old podcast episode on it. I will link it so you can listen to it, but community is a huge one. They actually found that the lifespan is much longer when community is there. So what things can you do with a community that will help you with your healthy lifestyle? Does that make sense? So how does lifestyle translate into diet? As I mentioned, a lifestyle has no end date. It is the way we live, and it's the way we should intend to keep living. We don't say, as soon as my best friend's wedding is over, I'm going to go back to being the most unhealthiest version of myself that I can because, man, that life was awesome. Chances are, if you are living a healthier lifestyle, you are feeling better. You have more energy. You are happier. You sleep better. You are able to keep up with your kids, etc. So you want to keep living that healthy lifestyle. But one of those habits we talked about that make up that healthy lifestyle is the food we eat. And there are going to be reasons or instances where you are going to want to go on a diet. In other words, you want to restrict the food you are eating. A diet has an end date. A diet is ending at your best friend's wedding. A diet might have an end goal of when I lose 10 pounds. Especially if the diet is focused on weight loss, it absolutely should have an end date. Think about it. Despite living a healthy lifestyle, you want to lose 10 pounds. That's okay. You shouldn't be shamed for it. Yes, you live a healthy lifestyle, but your weight is still 10 pounds higher than you want it to be. There's nothing wrong with that. In the macro world, if you know, I don't do macros. I don't give macros when I coach. I understand macros. I know how to use macros. I have done macro tracking before. But in the macro tracking world, a diet is referred to as a cut. That they cut the macros for 8 to 12 weeks to help lean out or lose body fat. And I'm going to get into an example in a little bit. But if you've heard that phrase and thought, wow, that's way cooler because it's not a diet. A cut is a diet. A cut is a restriction of food. You are cutting back the amount of food you're eating. You can be the healthiest version of yourself, but still need to see change. That's okay. You might be the healthiest version of yourself at 180 pounds, but there is a healthier version of you at 160. That's okay, but it means you need to go on a diet as part of your healthy lifestyle. It might mean restricting for a short period of time. As part of your healthy lifestyle, you need to look at your timeline and your goal and work with someone who can help you safely restrict. And I'm not talking restrict to 1,200 calories or even 1,600, because if someone does, run. Just my opinions. But as part of your healthy lifestyle, a diet might need to come into play at some season in life. It doesn't have to be this season. It might be next season. It might be next summer. That's okay. But the most important part is that it has a timeline. Why does a diet need a timeline? Why can't you just restrict until you see your end goal and then go back to living your normal life? Well, it should be that simple, but the key is having an end date or specifically an end goal, because you're not going to restrict yourself for the rest of your life, especially if your end goal is like huge. That's not becoming the healthiest version of you. Diets tend to come in phases. So especially when it comes to weight loss, depending on what your weight loss goal is. If your weight loss goal is 100 pounds, yes, your end goal is probably 18 months out. But there are habits that need to be adjusted at different points in that 18 months. So you want to set small micro goals, smaller goals that add up to bigger results. If you were to do it for the rest of your life, you're going to run into problems. There is going to be plateaus and things might start working against you, which is why it's important to have those smaller goals. So go into like different diet phases as part of your long-term healthy lifestyle. I don't love this example, but because it's not necessarily relatable to the people in this group, but I think it shows the extreme and it gets the point across. So I'm going to use it, but just note that I don't necessarily love the bodybuilder lifestyle. So I think there is a lot of disordered eating behind it and a lot of damage being done, but I'm also not trained or researched in it. So keep that in mind. But I'm going to use bodybuilders as an example. So I realize they're not comparable to the moms in this group. Most of us are not in a bikini prep phase. And I mean that into getting on a stage with a spray tan and showing off your muscles, not go rock your bikini at the beach. Do it. We are all in a bikini phase, not a bikini on stage phase. When someone does bikini competitions, they go into prep mode. They do super restrictive diets, super high protein, super low carb, low fat, because the goal is to shed as much fat off the body and be as lean as humanly possible. So all you see is muscle. Now, in this case, and I'm specifically talking women, I'm not talking men because I know very little about the men's side of it. I know very little about the women's side, but I know at least more about the women's side. With the amount of restriction they're in, they tend to really trigger hormone imbalance. Many of them lose their cycles, have hair loss, have stuff going on. And you're probably going, why do they do that then? It's that restriction that's causing it. So as soon as their competition is over, they go back to eating and maintenance. They slowly add more calories back into their day. They rebuild their muscles. You know, they go into like a 6-month phase of just lifting and just building muscles where they're not restricting at all. And then they restrict again, but they rebalance their hormones. So they go into these like up and down, almost roller coaster cycles with their body. But that's what I wanted to use as an example is when you restrict, you are basically telling your body, I'm only going to feed you so much. So you need to decide what parts of my body deserve the nutrients. If you are doing super restrictive. Now, I hope anybody in this group is not doing a super restrictive diet, but it's important to take that into consideration when you are restricting. You don't want to restrict too much just because you're going to see results faster. That actually can turn things in the wrong direction, which is my point with the bodybuilders. You want to restrict in a way that is healthy and part of your lifestyle where you are still taking into account all of your healthy habits. You're still eating enough vitamins and minerals and nutrients. You're still eating whole foods. You are still hitting a certain calorie or macro count every day. The goal is to maybe lose weight, but as part of your healthy lifestyle, not as a short-term diet that's just going to end and then go back to living the unhealthy lifestyle. The bodybuilder wasn't necessarily comparable, but it is a good example of how fueling is important as part of your day-to-day habits in your healthy lifestyle. Is this making sense? Diet plus lifestyle can equal long-term health. Chances are, if you're in this group, you are building healthy habits as a mom. One of the most common conversations I have with other moms is, I want to lose weight, which is where the diet comes in. And you might need to be on a diet for medical reasons. Maybe you are doing it for vanity reasons. Neither of those is wrong. The important part is to bring it in as part of your healthy lifestyle, making it a long-term healthy lifestyle with a short-term dieting phase part of it. It's okay to diet. There's nothing wrong with going on a diet, and you shouldn't be shamed the next time you go out to dinner with your friends and you say, hey, I'm on a diet. Just chill with me for a little bit. You shouldn't be shamed for that because you are building the habits and the foundation for your long-term healthy lifestyle. Your lifestyle will still be going throughout the diet. It's going to be going after the diet. and you are still stepping through each of those healthy habits that you build, but maybe they're changed slightly. Maybe you're increasing the weight you're lifting. Maybe you're moving your body a little bit more. Maybe you're restricting food a little, but not down to 1,200 calories because I will yell at you. But overall, you are still living your healthy lifestyle with some modifications. That's what a diet is. Whether you go on a diet today, whether you go on a diet 6 months from now, whether you never go on a diet again, that's fine. The lifestyle is the most important part of what we are building. It's about those little habits and making adjustments as you go in your current season of life with your current goals. Focusing on those little everyday steps, don't let someone shame you. If you decide right now a diet is good for you, go for it. If you decide that a diet is not good for you, you don't feel like it's going to be safe, or you don't have somebody who's involved who can help you, that's fine. As always, it's great to have you here. And if you have a chance to visit iTunes or Spotify to rate and review, I would greatly appreciate it. The more reviews you give, the more people that can find this podcast. Send it to a friend. Come check back in next week.